Varmint? This is foreign country. Reacher said, I'd be happier if you heard the gun go off, John. At least once. I'd be happier if you knew what it was like to have a bullet coming your way. It might help you with all that thinking. It might help you reach sensible conclusions. I won't try anything. Do I have your word on that? Absolutely. So we're bonded now, John. I'm trusting you. Am I wise to do that? Absolutely. Okay. Turn around and walk back to your truck. Reacher kept 10 feet behind the guy all the way, around the back corner of the building, along the face of the south gable wall, across the old lot, back to the two-lane. Reacher said, Now get in the truck the same way you got out of the car. The guy closed the driver's door and tracked around the hood and opened the passenger door. Reacher watched him all the way. The guy climbed into the passenger seat and lifted his feet one at a time into the driver's footwell, and then he jacked himself up and over the console between the seats on the heels of his hands, squirming, scraping, ducking his head. Reacher watched him all the way. When he was settled, Reacher climbed into the passenger seat and closed the door. He swapped the gun into his left hand for a second and put his seatbelt on. Then he swapped the gun back to his right and said, I've got my seatbelt on, John, but you're not going to put yours on, okay? Just in case you're getting ideas. Just in case you're thinking about driving into a telephone pole. See the point? You do that and I'll be fine, but you'll be hurt bad. And then I'll shoot you anyway. We clear on that? The guy said, Yes. Say it, John. I'm clear on that. How clear? Crystal. And we're bonded, right? I have your word, don't I? Yes. Promise. Yes. Where do you live?
At the Duncan Transportation Depot.
Where's that?
From here, about 30 miles, give or take, north and then west.
Okay, John, Reacher said. Take me there. Chapter 37 Mahmani's man was in his room at the Courtyard Marriott. He was on the phone with Mahmani himself. The conversation had not started well. Mahmani had been reluctant to accept that Sepher had lit out. It was inconceivable to him. It was like being told the guy had grown a third arm, just not humanly possible. Mahmani's man said, He definitely wasn't in the bar by the time you got there. He was never there. It was a most unpleasant place. I didn't like it at all. They looked at me like I was dirt, like I was a terrorist. I doubt if they would even have served me. Oscar wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes without getting in a fight. And there was no sign of trouble. There was no blood on the floor, which there would have been. Oscar is armed, and he's fast, and he doesn't suffer fools gladly. Mahmani said, Then he went somewhere else. I checked all over town, which didn't take long. The sidewalks roll up when it gets dark. There's nowhere to hide. He isn't here.
Women?
Are you kidding me?
Here?
Did you try his phone again?
Over and over.
There was a long, long pause. Mahmani in his Las Vegas office, processing data, changing gears, improvising. He said,
Okay, let's move on. This business is important. It has to be taken care of tomorrow. So you'll have to manage on your own. You can do that. You're good enough.
But I don't have a car. Get a ride from Safir's boys.
I thought of that, but the dynamic would be weird. I wouldn't be in charge. I would be a passenger, literally. And how would I explain why I let Oscar take off somewhere and leave me high and dry? We can't afford to look like idiots here, or weak, not in front of these people.
So get another car. Tell the others you told Oscar to go on ahead, or somewhere else entirely for some other purpose.
Get another car? From where? McNaney said, "Rent one. Boss, this isn't Vegas. They don't even have room service here. The nearest Hertz is back at the airport. I'm sure it's closed until the morning. And I can't get there anyway." Another long, long pause. McNaney, recalibrating, reevaluating, reassessing, planning on the fly. He asked, "Did the others see the first car you were in?" His guy said, "No, I'm sure they didn't. We all arrived separately at different times." McNaney said, "Okay. You're right about the dynamic. We need to be visibly in charge, and we need to keep the others off balance. So here's what you are going to do. Find a suitable car within the hour. Steal one if you have to. Then call the others in their rooms. I don't care what time it is, midnight, 1 o'clock, whatever. Tell them we have decided to start the party early. Tell them you're leaving for the north immediately. Give them 5 minutes, or you're going without them. They'll be in disarray, packing up and running down to the parking lot. You'll be waiting in your new car, but they won't know it's new. And they won't even notice that Oscar isn't with you, not in the dark, not in all the confusion. Then, drive fast, like a bat out of hell. Be the first one up there. When the others get there, tell them you turned Oscar loose, on foot, behind the lines. That will worry them. It will keep them even more off balance. They'll be looking over their shoulders all the time. That's it. That's what you're going to do. That's pretty much a silk purse out of a sow's ear, wouldn't you say?" McManey's man put his coat on and carried his bag down to the lobby. The desk guy had gone off duty. Presumably, there was an all-purpose night porter holed up in a back room somewhere, but McManey's man didn't see any sign of him. He just walked out, bag in hand, looking for a car to steal, which in many ways was a backward step and an affront to his dignity. Guys in his position had left car theft behind a long time ago. But needs must, and he still remembered how. There would be no technical difficulty. He would perform with his usual precision. The difficulty would come from being forced to work with such a meager pool of potential targets. He had two requirements. First, he needed a vehicle with a degree of prestige. Not necessarily much, but at least some. He couldn't be seen in a rusted and listing pickup truck, for instance. That would not be remotely appropriate or plausible for a McManey operative, especially one tasked to impress the Duncans. Image was by no means everything, but it greased the skids. Perception was reality, at least half the time. Second, he needed a car that wasn't brand new. Late model cars had too much security built in. Computers, microchips in the keys, matching microchips in the keyholes. Nothing was unbeatable, of course, but a quick and dirty street job had its practical limits. Newer cars were best tackled with tow trucks or flatbeds, and then patient hours hidden away with Ethernet cables and laptop computers. Lone men in the dark needed something easier. So, a clean sedan from a mainstream manufacturer, not new, but not too old either. Easy to find in Vegas. 5 minutes, tops. But not in rural Nebraska, not in farm country. He had just walked all over town looking for Oscar, and 90% of what he had seen had been utilitarian, either pickup trucks or ancient four-wheel drives, and 99% of those had been worn out, all battered and corroded and failing. Apparently Nebraskans didn't have much money, and even if they did, they seemed to favor an ostentatiously blue-collar lifestyle.